Anybody?
Dharma.
Okay. Chen means Dharma. Lu means body. Chen means...
Eight?
Yeah, number eight. Not the big dinner, just eight. And Lu means body, and Chen means literally activity, but it means how you posture the body. This posture has eight characteristics. You know, I got confused because in the back of my mind, I was remembering the seven-part posture. And here we've got Jetsun Kapa talking about the eight-part posture. So I used my computer and I asked it, and you see both. Both of them occur. You see the seven-part posture, and you see the eight-part posture. They're both called the posture of vital channel. Vairochana, if you're not sure. Dojin Nam. Nam.
Yeah,
Samile. Okay.
Between this Vairochana and Dojin Nam. Nam.
Dojin Nam. Nam.
Yeah,
Samile.
Okay. Number one?
Yeah. Gangba Gyutung. Gangba means the first characteristic of the posture is what do you do with your legs? Gangba means legs.
Okay.
Gangba. And Gyutung means lotus posture. Lotus is where you put one leg up first and then you put the other leg over it. So it would be like you can't see it very well on the board. You put your left leg all the way up here, first, left leg first, and then you put your right leg all the way up there. Okay. That's a full lotus, that's called a Gyutung. Tsongkhapa and every other scripture says, if you can't do that, or if you're not comfortable, which I'm not, it's okay to just make a half lotus. A half lotus would be your left leg, up like that, so that your foot is on your right thigh. And try to get it as high as you can. You'll get better at it over many years' time. And it won't hurt much.
It won't hurt that much.
No, but your legs will get... we sit like this in the monastery for 6-7 hours at a time during services and stuff. And you get used to it. We sit like this in the monastery for 6-7 hours at a time. During services and stuff. And you get used to it.
Half
lotus? Sometimes in full lotus. Not me, but in a half lotus. Half lotus is pretty comfortable. It's not much problem. You know, if you can. The main thing, though, when you're meditating is, your head is straight, but your eyes are focused down. And so Jetsun Kapa quotes, this is all from Kamala Shila, which is from the Buddha. He's saying, focus around your nose. When I first heard that, when I was first studying 20 years ago, I used to sit cross-eyed in my meditation because they mistranslated it. And it said, focus on the tip of your nose. So it was very hard. It didn't work. And then I studied more and I read more and I asked more lamas. And it just means focus your eyes about here. You see? About, if you drew a plane at the tip of your nose. It doesn't mean focus on your nose. It means focus about this far. If you had a book that you were reading right here, then you focus your eyes right about there. So you're not focusing on... If there's something in front of you, like if I'm standing in front of David, I'm not... My eyes are down, and I'm just focusing around here somewhere. You know, it doesn't mean you're crossing your eyes. Your eyes are straight. But they're just focused in midair. It's like a camera that you've misfocused. So, perfect focus, if there were anything here, it would be perfect. There doesn't happen to be anything there.
Down like about a 45-degree angle down.
Yeah, like that. So it's very typical problem in the beginning that you hear that. So your eyes are like this. You know, and it helps. If you keep them wide open, your eyes get, the water runs out and they get dry and you can't stay very long. And if you close them all the way, you get this problem of sleepiness. So the classical posture is in all the Buddhist books, it's like that. Which is also the way you're supposed to walk down the street if you're a monk, but I'm always like, you know? So I think in Thailand they do it pretty well. It's pretty strict. And the good monks are always bumping into telephone poles. but it's like that. Yeah. Bright colors, no bright textures or designs like that. And just like that, yeah.
Isn't there something about tucking your chin in a little bit? Or
we'll talk about it. We're getting there.
No,
you keep your head very, very straight. And the tendency is when you hear that you have to keep your eyes down, you go like that. That's wrong. And it's unnatural. You don't sit this way normally. Normally, when you're looking at something, it's straight. Your eyes are like that. The trick here is to keep your head straight, but to move your eyes down. And not all the way down, you know. Just somewhere, focusing out here somewhere. Focusing on nothing. Focusing on nothing. That's what it means at the level of your nose. If you were focusing on your hands, you would see them. And then you take them away.
So they mean like a point, you know, eight inches in front of you. Focus on a point in space 8 inches in front of you.
Right, yeah. Well, actually less. If you have an 8-inch nose.
You're holding your hands
out. It's about 6 inches, yeah. Something like that. It doesn't really matter. The point is, your eyes are unfocused, you know, and that's very important. Because it lets you, it lets you withdraw from your eye sense. It lets you withdraw from your visual sense easier, because they're not picking up anything. And that's very important. That's why it's very bad to have letters in front of you. Because your human tendency is to focus in on a letter and see what it's saying. You know?
Is it right to dim the lights?
They say dim them to a point at which it's conducive to meditation, but not so much that you get sleepy again. And very bright lights are bad too. By the way, it's not a Buddhist meditation, and never was, to stare at an object. That's not correct. It's in many scriptures it's said this is not meditation. You know, you don't stare at a picture of the Buddha or stare at your lama's picture or something like that. They say if you want to do that, we'll talk about this later when we get to what? The object. But the idea is to withdraw from your senses. The idea is that your eyes aren't focusing on anything. You're not in the realm of your senses. So to stare at an object is not meditation. Part of the definition of meditation is that you're withdrawing from your five senses. So it wouldn't be relevant.
Isn't that single point of concentration?
To stare at a picture? It is. It's also single point of concentration to have a good dinner and pork it down. So, I mean, you have to... It's not considered a good practice. You know, they say, look at the Buddha's image, you know, learn everything about it, study it, and then go to your meditation room. When somebody asked Kebje Tijan Rinpoche, our root Lama's Lama, and the Dalai Lama's Lama, there was a Westerner that we knew. He said, could you draw a Buddha for me? So he was like 80 years old, and he went... And he had this perfect, absolutely perfect, you know. And he wasn't a tanka painter. He just was meditating in a vertical plane. Because if you lean back, what happens? You start to buzz out. And if you lean forward or if you're crunched up, it's very common. I've seen Western people. After a few minutes, they start to, like this. You know? And it's very bad for some inner reasons that you'll learn later when you learn the secret teaching. So, very important that you don't start to bend your back. So it should be like absolutely straight. And you shouldn't be going back, and it's very bad to lean against something. If you're doing like a 1 month retreat and you're in extreme agony, then it's okay. And I've done that and it works. You know, you lean against something. But generally you shouldn't be touching anything else. You know, you shouldn't be and nothing else should be touching you. That will become a distraction to you. Obviously your clothes should be very loose and comfortable. You know, robes are nice, pajamas are nice. Something very, very comfortable. Yeah.
What's the translation of
Lu means body. Mm-hmm. Tongbo means up straight. upright, erect.
It just means up straight?
It means straight. Straight. Keep your body straight. And it is defined as don't let it go back too far and don't let it go up too far. And what will happen as you meditate, you'll find you start, your body is human, you know, and you start to, after about 20 minutes, you find yourself like this, and then it's okay, very slowly go back up. You know, don't go, because that'll ruin your breath and everything else. Just very slowly, you catch yourself because your body is, you can't keep your body up straight forever. You get tired, and your body slowly starts to come down, and then you gotta very, very slowly bring it up, back up, without ruining your breath, without ruining the flow of your breath. But you might catch yourself doing that sometimes, especially depending on how your arms are. And he doesn't talk about the arms, but in the it's a Tibetan tradition that you set your, if you don't do this, your tarpas won't be nyamba, okay? you set your left hand down first. Okay, like that. And then the right hand goes on top of that. So left hand down first and then right hand. And then the tradition is to join your thumbs like that. So left hand down first, right hand down first, and then you join your thumbs like that. I used to really get distracted by that because my thumbs would flop down. Boom. You know, and I found myself trying to concentrate to keep my thumbs up, and it became a distraction for me. And I didn't like it. And I was wondering why they made me do it. But what happens if you just personal experience, I don't know about how your hands are. My hands are not that great. I found that if I stuck my elbows out a little, just a touch, then it would force the thumbs up against each other and they would stay up without my thinking about my thumbs and ruining my meditation. You know? So they say they should be joined like that.
Could you show again?
Yeah, like this. But what I found is if, instead of putting your hands like straight, in which case my thumbs fall down, you force them up again, you kind of put your elbows out. And I believe that if you meditate a long time, you'll find that your elbows can be a distraction. If they're in too tight, some heat builds up here and it becomes uncomfortable. So if they're a little bit, like I'm not that extreme, but if they're a little bit out, that forces your thumbs up against each other, and maybe that's why they say to do that, I don't know. But if it should keep your elbows out away from your body, otherwise you're going to get some heat building up, and it'll distract you. And also this supports your, it helps support your body. If you're in a half lotus, then one, it's in the pit of your ankle here, and it's very comfortable, and it kind of keeps you up straight. I would say if you find the thumb thing distracting, just let them down, okay? If you find that, you know, you're worrying about whether your thumbs are up, just forget it. But eventually you can learn. It'll stick that way.
Maybe I'll ask you before. When you put your legs on the half lotus, what happens if they fall asleep? Should you ignore them? You start getting tingling feelings.
When you get good at meditating, you realize, just forget it. You know, it'll tingle for 7-8 minutes, and then it'll fall asleep. And let it fall asleep. Who cares? It's even good. You know, just be careful when you get up. I was with Professor Thurman when they had a broken ankle. I said, "What happened?" So I stood up right after. His foot went asleep, and he jumped up. The phone rang, you know, or something. He jumped up, and he broke his, and he twisted his ankle. So. You have senses. You won't. You'll be able to just withdraw from those senses. So it's not easy. If you're doing a long meditation and it really hurts for a while, you have to stop and change your position. You should stop, because then it's just a distraction. You know, the object is not to be a tough guy. And a lot of people think that. I mean, if you can stand it and take your mind off it. If it's bothering you and distracting you, then move. But when we do meditation in here, you're not going to be able to move. I just tell you it works. I've seen it. Yeah,
so just in 2 hours, a little bit of a long meditation.
Well, I want to say one thing. In the beginning, we should restrict it 10 to 15 minutes. And it's like weightlifting, you know, when you first start, they say, weightlift for 10 minutes and then stop. And then better to do it with long rest in between. You know? And meditation is the same way. At the beginning, forget it. You can't keep your mind for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you stay longer than that, I predict you will get one of the 5. I can show you the text. And it's been, you know, you can read it. And there is a special method in everything. Okay. Chakwen Yom.
Quick question. Yeah. You know, when your legs are falling asleep, isn't your body telling you something that you could be doing physical harm or some such thing? I mean, is there some danger?
I don't know. I've been doing it for 20 years. Nothing happened to me. But I heard it's not good for you. That's true. I've heard that it's not good that you're playing, but I never found any problem with it. I don't know.
I think it's more the knees. I mean, you really can get some bad joint problems from work doing, trying to do the lotus, or just sitting with your knees bent.
Oh yeah, and I know.
I was lame for a week after a meditation session.
No, I've known people. I've known one lady who came to my class in the beginning, Linda Jordan, and she overdid it. She tried to do the 100,000 prostrations, and it began to hurt her legs, and she did not stop. And she's crippled by it. So don't do that. But don't squish yourself into full lotus if you're not ready for it. Start with a half lotus. If you can't do a half lotus, it's very, very fine to just put both legs down flat on the ground. You know, like that. Left leg inside first, and then the right side out. And just flat down on the ground. That's all right. And when your left leg is in like that, slowly this, it'll start to stretch out here. Your tendons will start to stretch out here. And then you'll be able to get it up here. And that's a half lotus, and then you're all right. I haven't... Maybe I should sit up here.
Were you demonstrating that?
I can't do it in the air yet. Anyway, it's okay to have the left foot in like that, and then the right foot in, and then just flat down on the ground.
Indian style.
Yeah. But left one inside and right one outside. Okay. But then when you get used to that, these tendons around your knees will loosen up. And then put it up on the side like that. Well, that'd be nice.
People are interested.
Maybe you can... Can you bring it?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be nice. But I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, it's not, don't sit there and say, oh my God, I'm not doing lotus. Half lotus is fine. If you can't do it, if you're not comfortable, put them down flat. If you have a medical problem, sit in a chair. Sit upright in a nice chair. A nice cushion. Don't lean back if you can help it. And you know, if you have serious problems with your legs or knees or back, you can find that you can do a very good meditation sitting up very straight, not in an easy chair, okay? But, you know, in a pretty straight back chair with your feet flat down, and it works.
But, Michael, I have a problem with my lower back.
Uh-huh.
If I sit in that position and I don't feel any discomfort, then it's okay. I'm not doing anything to my body. As long as I don't feel the pain, it's okay?
Yeah, as long as when you get up you don't feel any bad effects, you know, that's okay. Fine. There'll be some pain, and you've got to tough it out, you know. Later on in the text, Tsongkhapa says, you know, come on. This is something important.
Okay.
But you have to use good judgment. You know, a lot of Buddhist practice is good judgment. And my Lama's always saying that. Rinpoche is always saying that. Just use your common sense, you know. Don't hurt yourself. And then on the other hand, don't be lazy and don't be gutless, you know. Stick it out for a little bit. You'll find that if you... stick out the pain for a few days or something, you won't have it after a while. And when you start a long retreat, you always get some pain somewhere. I think some kind of sciatica or something. And it hurts a lot, but you just keep going. You got to keep going. You know? So,
question. Yeah.
It doesn't really have to be any pain. If you went out and started to run without any practice or stretching or loosening up, you'll have pain.
Yeah.
If you take it easy, if you stretch, if massage is very good for your legs. And when I was in Thailand, they got some that I could sit in a full lotus with no trouble for as long as I wanted. And
yeah.
I want to go back real soon. And
it is. That's really the way your mouth should be. It should be totally unconscious, you know. And it's a little bit open. And they say that keeps you from getting thirsty, along with the next one. And you, by the way, you never breathe through your mouth when you meditate. You never breathe through your mouth. You'll get, your throat will get dry, and what will you do?
Swallow.
You'll swallow. And as you get deeper into meditation, that sounds like a truck going by. You know, you don't want to be swallowing. You will have to swallow from time to time. But you don't want to cause anything that's going to make you swallow all the time. So the lips and the teeth are just natural, exactly like if you were in concentration on a movie or a book, and it's like a little bit open and it's just loose. It's no, the tendency when you meditate is like that. And that distract, it'll distract you. And it doesn't mean to leave your mouth open. One. Two. Okay. Like that. You always breathe through your nostrils. The purpose of breathing, and we'll get into it. We're not now talking technically about the count to 10 breath meditation. That's a different subject. Okay. There is a meditation where you watch your breath and you count up to 10. We'll talk about that later. Okay, it's to change gears between what and what? Between my office and my meditation. You have to do that. It's not a meditation in itself, and nobody meant it to be. It was taught by Vasubandhu. He didn't mean for people to sit there for 5 hours and watch their breath. It was meant, and it's stated in the text, that it's a go-between. It's because obviously your breath is not what?
Good object.
It's not a holy object. You know, it's a good object when you're changing gears. You use it to put your mind into neutral. It'll sound loud and distracting. As you get deeper into meditation, you have to slow your breath down, or else it distracts the hell out of you. It drives you crazy. Okay, but as you get better at meditation, you'll start to hear the air going past the hairs in your nose. And the object is that you breathe slow enough that you don't hear that anymore, because they're not going by the hairs fast enough to make noise. You can't do that right away. And it's considered very bad to try to force your breath. You shouldn't try to force your breath. You shouldn't try to breathe slower than what your body wants you to breathe, you know? Don't sit down immediately and try to breathe slow. You know, let the body calm down, let the heart slow down, and then you'll start breathing slower. If you have any thoughts about the guy at work that you don't like, if you have any thoughts of desire, if you have anything on your conscience, you might find that your breath will never slow down. It's kind of slow.
Last class, didn't you say we're going to possibly learn to become Buddhas without becoming nuns and monks? Remember that?
You know, when you take your vows, they take you in a room and they say, never tell laymen this, but you have to become a monk. No,
we had this discussion.
Drumtimba, Atisha's greatest student, never became a monk. So.
Don't worry. You mean never in that particular life that we know about that person, right?
In the life that he made his great progress. So. Anyway. Person founded Rajang Monastery, in front of which Tsongkhapa taught the text of Buddhist study. So anyway, that's a basic breath. And it's very, very important. The breath becomes very, very important for you. And you focus on the breath for a certain number of breaths, and then you shift the mind to the object of your meditation. And we'll talk about that when we get to the object. So I think it's a good point to take a break. I like to keep a mat like that down. I found for long retreats, you keep something like that down first, and then put your seat on top of that. And what this does is keeps your... legs warm, because your legs aren't on the seat. And if they touch the floor, it also cuts off your circulation. So if you don't like your legs falling asleep, you might try that. It's just a thin one that's big, and it covers the full load. You know, it covers all the way up to your knees. So that way, I found my legs don't fall asleep anymore. because there's something under even the outside of my leg. And it also keeps them warm. If you just have, if you have your butt up on a seat and then you have your knees, your legs up against linoleum or something, it's very distracting. It doesn't work right. So it's very good to have that if you can. It's got to be perfectly smooth. I used to think about this story of the lady and the pea in the bed. You know, when you meditate for a long time, and I'm not talking 5 hours, I'm saying every day for 15, 20 minutes, or half an hour. When you get good at it, the way you get good is that you do a little bit every day. It's like exercise, it's like dieting, it's like weightlifting, it's like anything that you want to get good at. It's not through these 5 hour sessions once a week. It's through 15-hour sessions every single day with never breaking it. And even if you don't feel like getting up, get up. Even if you don't feel like doing the preliminaries, do them. And you'll get used to it. And what will happen, it'll force a change in the priorities in your life, which is also desirable. You know, you'll start thinking, I better get to bed now, or else I'm going to have a lousy meditation tomorrow. And you'll start to change your priorities, and that's fine. And then when the phone rings, you won't answer it, because this is more important. And that's, you have to, that's with everybody, you know. You do find time for those things. Don't tell me you don't have 15 minutes. If you have 15 minutes to eat, or half an hour to eat, twice or three times a day, and you have time to go to the bathroom, meditation is more important. It really is.
I'm not trying to find an excuse, but for example, you say that the best time to meditate is in the morning, when your mind is fresh. Yeah. But for me, it takes me an hour or two sometimes to wake up, and then I have to go to work.
Get up earlier, go to bed earlier. Or do it at night. I mean, some people meditate better at night. The tradition is to meditate in the morning, but it's not fixed. Again, common sense. If you're a night person, and it's really nice and quiet in your neighborhood at midnight, and you can stay up to midnight. There's nothing that says that you... It's common sense. Dharma is a lot of common sense. I think a lot of people miss that sometimes. You know, you know that. Okay, so here we're going to do a little meditation.
Could you tell me what the kusha grass...
Why it works?
Well, what are you...
Where is it?
You just... Yes, I've got some of that, but that's just one strand of it.
That's all you need. You need like 2-3 stands, or one is enough. And you put it down, like if I've got this, and I'm going to put a cushion over it, put it down and then put the cushion in there.
Because
yeah,
I heard...
You
know,
put
told.
It by the floor.
Not that?
Not by the floor.
Yeah, no, on top of that, cushion is good.
His Holiness mentioned putting it under your mattress, too, when you sleep at night.
That's especially during certain special programs.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll try to meditate a little bit. So put your books away.
What did I do?
In Thailand, if you're wearing a short skirt, they give you a blanket, right, when you go into the temple. I don't know. You can sit like that, maybe. It's okay. You shouldn't be distracted to something else before you reach 10. If it does get distracted, stop and go back to 1 again. Right? And you might find that in a whole hour, you'll never get to 10, if you're honest.
Open the door ever so slightly to increase the oxygen.
I think the window downstairs is cracked open.
Sāshī bhūrgī jūshī metā jāṁ rīrā vīnshī nyandē nyampādī sāṅgē shindū mitte uvāgī jōgū nāmbā shīmā jūpā Gewa di gewa.
is the end of class 4.